Welcome to Torah Timecha, Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Shaiwitz, and today we'll be learning Yishayahu Perk Chet, Yishayahu Chapter 8. Now, it seems like for years already, everybody has been talking about work-life balance and this kind of elusive idea that one would be able to really balance like the things that they're doing for work and also managing their home life, children, etc. And I would say, especially now in the age of, you know, COVID-19, where schools are canceled and many parents are trying to work from home, this whole idea of work-life balance has become even more difficult and perhaps impossible at this current moment, which is why Yishayahu Perek Chet, as well as Perek Zayin, feel especially relevant to me at this point. So let me give you a little background to help explain why. So when we studied Perek Zayin, chapter 7, we discussed that Yishayahu is now turning his prophecy to the king of Judah, Ahaz. And we're talking around 734, 732 BCE. And Yishayahu brings a very difficult message to Ahaz, which is that he should not ally himself with anybody. Now, remembering just the geopolitical circumstances that are happening at that time, Aram and Yisrael both want Yehuda, the southern kingdom, Jerusalem, to ally with them so that together all these small communal groups will be able to perhaps fight off the mighty Assyria. On the other hand, right, the other option would be that Yehuda could protect themselves from Aram and Yisrael, who are really trying to force Judah's hand by going to war with him. They could protect themselves by joining with Assyria and becoming a vassal state to Assyria. Yishayahu comes and Yishayahu tells Ahaz, Hishamer v'hishaket, be quiet, wait, watch, let things unfold. Don't jump into either of these situations. Now, back to this idea of children and work-life balance, the Navi, the prophet, is always the opposite of work-life balance because the idea of prophecy is that it takes over your life. For example, Yirmiyahu is told, actually, that he's not allowed to get married and he's not allowed to have children in order to, in order to reinforce the ideas of the upcoming destruction. Sorry for the little spoiler. But Yishayahu actually is commanded the opposite. He's commanded to have children. And in Perek Zayin, two of Yishayahu's children are discussed. Firstly, when he goes to speak to Ahaz, he's commanded to bring along his son, and his son's name is Shar Yashuv. The remainder will return. Okay, which reinforces the message that Yishayahu received in the prior parak, which is that there will always be a remainder and that remainder will blossom. Then, as we spoke about also last time in Perek Zayin, Yishayahu discusses that he will have, the sign to Ahaz is that he will have a child. This child will be named Immanuel, symbolizing that Hashem is with you, and therefore the message being to Ahaz, you don't have to ally yourself with another nation or another superpower. You should have faith in God, and that will carry you through. Now, here in Perek Chet, we're about to meet Yishayahu's third child. In Pasuk Gimel, Yishayahu is told, actually I'm going to go back one, in Pasuk Bet, Yishayahu describes, Ve'ekrab el hanivyah v'tahar v'teled ben, v'yomar Hashem elai, kra shmo maher shalal chashbaz. So Yishayahu is commanded to have a third child that we know about, and this child will be called Maher Shalal Chashbaz, quite a long name. I'm sure they came up with some kind of nickname. But Maher Shalal Chashbaz means that everything that I'm telling you is going to happen quickly. And what will happen quickly is that these countries, these smaller communal countries, will be decimated by Assyria. You don't have to worry about them. So it will be very soon, it will be Maher, that they will become, their shalal, the booty, will be taken from these places. And then he goes on to say, explaining just that, Ki b'terem yedah hanar kara aviv imi, before this child is able to say mama, dada, which happens, you know, usually within about a year, at that point, already the threat of Damascus, Syria, Aram, and Israel will already be shut down by Assyria. Assyria is the emerging superpower. You don't have to worry about these small countries. Yeshayahu then continues his words to Yehuda with a metaphor of water. And the first body of water he mentions is the Mea Shiloach, which is a slow-moving spring in southern Jerusalem. And Yeshayahu says, Le'at le'at Mea Shiloach, meaning the waters of the Shiloach move slowly. And what he's expressing is that we need to be comfortable with things moving slowly. And he says this against the group that is pushing Ahaz and that wants to join with all of these smaller coalitions in order to fight back against Assyria. And his message is, you need to allow things to play out slowly, just like the slow-moving waters of the stream. Now, on a personal note, these words also really just resonate with me in this fast-paced world that we live in. La'at, la'at, mea shiloach. These waters move slowly. Then the second body of water Yeshayahu mentions is the fast-moving waters of the Euphrates. These strong waters symbolize Assyria. And here Yeshayahu's message is that Hashem will bring against all these groups who think by binding together and gathering for war that they'll be successful against Assyria. Hashem will bring against them the strong waters of Assyria, the strong waters of the Euphrates. And if you join with the local groups, this water will come to you too, and you'll be subsumed in this water, and you'll have no chance to get out of it. He then continues with the pasuk that we're very familiar with from Songs and Davening, Utu Eitza V'Tufar, Dabru Davar, V'lo Yakum, Ki Immanuel. Right? The people come up with plans, but they're foiled. They say things and they plan and it doesn't happen because Hashem is with us. So first of all, just a reminder again, Immanuel, that's the name of Yeshayahu's second child, who is referenced as part of the sign for Ahaz. But here, what he's trying to express is that you think, Ahaz, or you think, people of Judah, that you making all these plans, these military plans, figuring out who to ally yourselves with, that's what's going to solve your problems. It's not true. It's Ki Immanuel, that's what will solve your problems. Being committed to this dependence on Hashem and not rushing into these other alliances. So Hashem is still, like in the last parak, calling out to Ahaz to depend on him. Now, taking a short detour from Yeshayahu, in Melachim, it describes what Ahaz actually did. And what Ahaz actually did is that he decided to ally himself with Assyria. And he said to him very tellingly, Ahaz said to the king of Assyria, to Tiglath-Pileser, Avdecha ubincha ani, I am your servant and your son. And you could see even from his language that he is becoming truly a vassal to Assyria. I'm your servant. I'll do whatever you tell me. I'm your son. I look to you like a father. I'm dependent on you. And this is exactly what happened. On the one hand, from Assyria, Assyria did decimate Aram and Yisrael, protecting Israel. But on the other hand, this came along with a great price. Israel was forced to live, Judah here, not all of Israel, but Judah was forced to live as a vassal state. And it also involved many religious compromises. Even initially in Melachim, describes a very strange story where Ahaz travels to Damascus and sees presumably an Assyrian altar there and makes a copy of it to the Beit HaMikdash. So even immediately, there are religious compromises that go along with this as well. Now, sadly, perhaps because of Ahaz's rejection of Yeshayahu's prophecy, Yeshayahu realizes now that he has no one to speak to. So instead, he's told to bind up his prophecy and wait for Hashem, who is hidden. And in a sense, this is part of the writing of all of the prophetic works by Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, others, that the audience is not only for the people at the time. Once the people at the time don't accept it, these words still have meaning, but they will be bound up for later. Towards the end of the parak, I'll read one more pasuk, pasuk Yud Chet, 18. And Yeshayahu says, Hine anochi v'hayiladim asher natan li Hashem le'otot ulimoptim b'Yisrael me'im Hashem tzvakot hashochin b'har tzion. And Yeshayahu very poignantly says, I and my children are the signs. We as ourselves serves as the signs of this faith that Hashem is demanding of you. And it's very powerful how Yeshayahu sees himself, even his physical self, his own children, as these signs in the continuity that will be granted to the people if they can follow along with this message of faith and commitment. Now, I think it's important to think, to realize, and Yeshayahu already even alludes to this, that while sometimes the events of all these alliances and who to make a brit with, who to make a contract with, don't seem as if they are so relevant to the way that we live our lives now, there's still a very important message here that plays out differently. So while emuna, faith, doesn't necessarily look the same way that it did then, and we don't receive these same explicit instructions like what Yeshayahu gave, it's still a fundamental part of our belief that there is a master plan, and this master plan emerges over time. And sometimes it does come slowly. So la'at la'at mea shiloach, that the waters of the shiloach move slowly, is a comforting message, not just for the times of Yeshayahu, but I believe for our times as well. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmat Malka Esther Bat Tzvi Yosef.